Chapter 8. Compassion. Wa'ushilapi. To care, to sympathize. The story of the eagle. Some of our elders like to tell of how our people came up out of a hole in the earth in the southern edge of the Black Hills. That's a creation story. This one I'm about to tell you is a recreation story, and it wouldn't have a good happy ending if there were no compassion in the world. Long ago, the people were living in the land of many lakes. In the forest, there are many animals, such as deer, elk, and moose, to hunt for food and clothing. The lakes were filled with fish of all kinds, and ducks and geese as well. The people were strong, their enemies were afraid of them, and so there was peace. Life was very good. Then came a particularly hard winter. The snow was deep. It came early and stayed long. All the snow finally melted in May, the moon of berries ripening. Summer brought much rain, and the lakes and rivers began to fill. The rains kept falling. The people knew that the wet season always passed. They patched around bark and thatch lodges to keep the water from leaking in and waited for the rains to let up. But they didn't. The lakes and rivers filled more and more until they all overflowed their banks, yet the rains kept falling. The sky stayed dark and cloudy. The waters rose higher and higher, chasing the people out of their lodges. They found higher ground and made new lodges, but the water kept coming. Soon there was no rest from the great flood. The people had to keep moving to the high hills and ridges. Even the animals fled from the waters. Food became scarce because the hunters couldn't hunt. Many belongings were lost to the rising waters. Because there was no dry wood for fires, the people were cold. The first among them to die were the old ones, who were too weak to fight the cold and hunger. Soon many people became ill with a coughing sickness. Some grew weak and died because there was no medicine to help them. Then the winds came. Out of the north came the winds, angry and vengeful. They whipped the floods into a mean-spirited, dark being that sought out the people as they tried to flee, dragging them down into its cold darkness. Within days, all but one of the people were dead. A young woman clung to the rocks of a high hill. She had started climbing with her family, but the wind-driven flood had taken them all. Now she was alone, hungry and cold and dizzy with grief, huddling in the rocks, waiting to die. Weakened by hunger and sadness, she fell asleep and slept for several days. The winds that had turned the flood into a frenzy also chased away the rain clouds. For the first time in nearly a month, the sun bathed the land with its healing, soothing warmth. The great winds went away, and in their place came gentle breezes that caressed the land with their softer breath. The great flood was over, but it left death in its passing. Broken and uprooted trees, torn hillsides, and flattened grasses and shrubs were its trail. From the high hill, the young woman could see what the flood had done. She would never forget that it had taken her mother and father and her brother and sister. It was of no matter to her that the sun was shining and the animals were beginning to return. She was alone. Her plaintive wail of grief rose over the land, causing four-leggeds and wingeds to pause and listen. The young woman did not leave the hill. Day after day, night after night, she sat overcome with grief, despair, and loneliness, growing weaker and weaker from lack of food and water. One afternoon, she awoke to find a great eagle perched on a nearby rock. He was very large, with dark brown, almost black feathers. She was frightened, because she knew the eagle to be a great hunter with powerful talons that could rip her flesh, and she had no way to defend herself. The young woman was drawn to the eagle's soft brown eyes. He looked at her with curiosity. She waited, suddenly sensing that there was no danger. Then the eagle spoke. "I have seen that you are alone," he said. She began to sob quietly, then stopped. "Yes," she replied. "The flood took my family. It took all of my people, the two-leggeds. I am alone." "You are sad. I heard you weeping." My family is gone. My people are gone. There is only me, and all I have is sadness. It stays with me, day and night. Then I will be your friend, the eagle said. Tell me what I can do for you.
You can do nothing, she lamented. I am alone. I will die alone.
That is not true, he replied. Look around. Your relatives, the four-leggeds, the wingeds like me, and the crawlers, they are here. We are all here.
But my people are gone. I am the last, she sobbed. There is no one like me left. So I am waiting to die to rejoin my people.
If you die, there will be no more like you on the earth. There will be nothing but emptiness where your kind once lived. That cannot be. You must live.
He stretched his wings and rose in the air.
Where are you going? She asked. Are you leaving me?
Only to bring you food, he told her.
I will return.
And he did, bringing a large fish.
I must make a fire to cook this, she said. I cannot eat this without cooking it.
What do you need for fire? He asked.
Wood, she said. Dry wood. The eagle, of course, could fly very fast, and after several flights to the forest, he had collected a large pile of wood for her. The young woman first built a fire starter out of wooden cord, then started a fire to cook the fish. Even a small bite seemed to give her strength, and she could feel it flowing through her. All the while, the eagle had been sitting back, for he was afraid of the fire.
You two-leggeds can do a very powerful thing, he said. You can make fire. But of course, we wingeds and four-leggeds do not need such a thing.
Yes, fire cooks our food so we can eat it, keeps us warm. There is nothing like a warm fire to chase away the darkness. A good fire is like a good friend. The eagle brought more wood so she could have a fire through the night and stay warm. In the morning when she awoke, he was gone, but her fire was still smoldering. She built up her fire and wondered where he was. For a time, he had eased her loneliness, and she was grateful. As the morning wore on and he did not return, she thought he had only been a dream. Yet there was the fire and the dried-out skin of the fish. He returned in the middle of the day, this time with a rabbit.
This is a fine day, he said. It's good to be alive.
The young woman was glad for the eagle's return. She skinned the rabbit and cooked it, and ate as he watched with great interest. There is a fine valley toward where the sun goes down, a good place to build a lodge. There is water, and it is sheltered from the cold winter wind. Perhaps you should go there, he said.
No, she replied, I am here, and I will stay here. I can build a lodge here, if that is what I want to do.
The eagle could see that her sadness was great. He also knew that she would always be sad because she was the last of her kind. He had flown far over the lakes and valleys, but he had found no other two-leggeds. She would grow old and die alone.
He continued to bring her food and firewood day after day,
and he would circle over her hill, watching for any danger. Once he chased a bear away from the hill, swooping down again and again. She grew stronger with each passing day and began to worry about her appearance. She brushed off her dress and made a comb to do her hair. Before the flood, she had been the loveliest young woman in many villages, and young men had come from near and far to court her. Now, of course, she was the most beautiful young woman anywhere. One day, while waiting for the eagle, she climbed to the very top of her hill. From there, she saw across a wide valley and many lakes. There was beauty all around. In time, the scars from the great flood would be no more. But what could she do alone, she wondered. Like any young woman, she had dreamed of marrying a fine, handsome young man and having children. They would not live far from her mother and father's lodge in their village by the lake. He would hunt, and she would keep their lodge, and they would grow old together. Now she was standing on a hill, a cold, terrible truth within her. She was the last of her kind. What was she to do?